Well, John chapter 11 and verse 25, they're very familiar words. If you've been to a funeral service, you would have heard them read. I read them just a few weeks ago at my uncle's funeral as we buried him. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And that's a wonderful verse, wonderful hope. But until relatively recently, with the advances of medical science, you know, it was occasionally difficult to tell when somebody had actually died. In the old days, they might hold a mirror in front of the mouth or nose of the body to see if it missed it up, or a candle to see if it flickered. The fear of being buried alive drove some people to stipulate certain tests should be carried out to make sure they were actually dead before they were buried. George Washington declared in his will that he didn't want to be buried until 3 days after he had died, just to make sure that he wasn't going to be buried alive. Occasionally, of course, we hear amazing stories about people who have been resuscitated. Perhaps they fell through the ice and their body temperature dropped suddenly and their heartbeat slowed down or even stopped, but the extreme cold preserved them so that they could be resuscitated. Well, John 11 gives us the account of a man who was brought back to life, not after a few hours in the ice, but after 4 days in the blazing heat of the Middle East. But in the Bible, you know, and here in John 11, there are two kinds of death: physical death and spiritual death. According to Jesus, death is more than just the absence of a heartbeat or the cessation of brain activity. In the Bible, there is another kind of death, a spiritual death, which is a separation from the living God. And a person may be physically alive, but spiritually dead. In the beginning of John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verse 4, John says of Jesus, "In him was life." But at the start of our history as a race, we turned away from Jesus, the life and light of the world. In the Garden of Eden, the whole human race walked away from the life, and we died spiritually at that moment. And physically, we began to die as well. We were cut off from the life of God in Christ, and we became, as a race, the walking dead. The fact that you and I will die one day is a sign that as a race, we are born into spiritual death. We are under the sentence of death. And the Bible says that physical death and spiritual death are self-inflicted. Both are the result of the deliberate choice to cut ourselves off from Jesus, to live without him, moment by moment. The Scottish doctor, James Simpson, who pioneered the use of chloroform as an anaesthetic in the mid-19th century in obstetrics, said that every person who's not a Christian believer consists of a dead soul mysteriously joined to a living body. He described them as the walking dead. And the walking dead are all around us in London. Just walk out onto the steps. On the tube, in your workplace, perhaps here among us this afternoon, dead men and women, full of activity, physically alive, but spiritually dead, cut off from the Lord Jesus Christ and the life that is in him, under the condemnation and judgment and sentence of death. Well, as miraculous as this raising of Lazarus is in John chapter 11, it was only a sign, one of the 7 signs around which John builds his gospel account. So please keep a thumb or a finger in John chapter 11 and just flip over a few pages to John chapter 20 and verse 30. You'll find it on page 1090 in the church Bible, 1090. John chapter 20. Verse 30. John chooses 7 signs, 7 miracles that Jesus performed to show us who Jesus is And he gives us an explanation of why he wrote this gospel and why he wrote it this way. John chapter 20, verse 30, John says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, Jesus performed this miracle, the raising of Lazarus, and John recorded it in his gospel, and the Holy Spirit preserved it down the centuries so that you and I, who are by nature cut off from Jesus and spiritually dead, might be able to trust in Jesus and have life in his name. We come from death to life. And the way that the events of John 11 unfold show that Jesus is wanting to teach us this lesson about coming from spiritual death to spiritual life. So flip back to John chapter 11. Now, if we had a friend who we heard was very sick, was in hospital perhaps, I'm sure every one of us would drop whatever we were doing and rush to be at their bedside. We'd want to be with them immediately to comfort them. But when Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus was sick, he doesn't rush to the bedside. He waits 2 days, deliberately. If Jesus had been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Both Mary and Martha remind Jesus of that. They know that. But Jesus deliberately waits. And John tells us on the 3rd day, he sets out for Lazarus. Now, if we know John's gospel, we pick up the clues already on the 3rd day. The 3rd day is the day of new life. That's why Jesus heads towards Lazarus then on the 3rd day. But by then, Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. And his sister says, Lord, there's a bad odour. Or as the King James Version says, but Lord, he stinketh. Martha runs out to meet Jesus on the way. Verse 21. Lord, Martha says to Jesus, if you'd been here, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. My Martha's faith is very impressive. I know he will rise again at the last day. There's no doubt in her mind. She knows that Jesus has the power over life and death. And even though her brother is dead and in the grave, she knows that one day Jesus will raise him from the dead. So Jesus tests her. Your brother will rise again. I know he will rise again at the resurrection, at the last day. Sometimes people say in the Old Testament the saints didn't really know what was going to happen after they died. Well, Martha has a very deep understanding, doesn't she? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? See, Jesus isn't just questioning her about the future. He's questioning her about life here and now. Whoever believes in Jesus can have eternal life now, Martha. Do you believe this? They'll never die. They'll pass from spiritual death to spiritual life. And you've never really seen a Christian die. Do you believe that, Martha? Martha grasps it straight away. Verse 27. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Martha gives the perfect answer from what we've seen in John 20. Do you remember John 20? These signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And Martha gives the perfect answer. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God. So she rushes off to call her sister Mary. Verse 33. When Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And the word literally means he snorted. He was indignant, full of rage, that death should be present before him, the Lord of life. Even though he knows that in a few moments he will raise Lazarus from the dead, the very presence of death in his world is so offensive to Jesus that he snorts with rage. Physical death is an intruder. It's not a natural thing. We should never come to terms with it. You know, when you are at the bedside of someone who's dying, if you have been, you realize how unnatural a thing it is. The Apostle Paul calls it the last enemy. Dylan Thomas, of course, famously urged his father to rage against the dying of the light. And that's right, we should. And faced with death, Jesus, the resurrection and the life, rages and snorts with fury. "Where have you laid him?" Jesus asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And Jesus wept. Some people are a bit embarrassed by verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible there. Jesus wept. They think that God shouldn't feel emotions. That somehow is John ascribing emotions to him that he didn't really have. Even though he knows what he's about to do, here we see God weeping at the tomb of his friend. The real God is not some emotionless ball of gas in the sky. He knows what it is to lose a loved one. And when we mourn the loss of a loved one, and maybe somebody here this afternoon is doing that now, when we face some trial or deep sadness, he is not untouched by our pain. He weeps with us in our grief at what our sin has done to his world. But he doesn't just weep in some powerless way as a victim. In verse 38, Jesus advances towards the tomb. "Once more," John says, "deeply moved, Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. 'Take away the stone,' he said." Then, verse 43, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth round his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Jesus is so powerful that he can tell dead people to come to life, and they will, long after they've died. There is a day when Jesus will return to this earth and every grave will burst open at the voice of Jesus. And everyone who's ever lived will be raised bodily to everlasting life or to everlasting judgment. But as we've seen, there are two kinds of life and death. And the raising of Lazarus, his body here, is a sign of Jesus' power to give spiritual life to the spiritually dead. Whoever hears Jesus' words and believes in him can be brought back from spiritual death and separation right now and begin eternal life today. Right now, anyone who trusts in Jesus can begin eternal life with him and with his Father. And if a person receives Jesus' life, then they'll never really die. This world has never seen a Christian really die. Not really. Physically, our bodies will die. But Jesus promises us we'll never really die if we trust in him. We've begun eternal life. If we want to understand this sign, we need to go to Jesus' words a little earlier in John 5. And this is where we're going to finish. But turn back, if you would, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and then we won't flip around anymore. John chapter 5 from verse 24. It's on page 1069. John chapter 5, verse 24. The words of Jesus, "Very truly I tell you, Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live. Those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Jesus says, the issue is now. We may be physically alive, but spiritually dead. There may be somebody here this afternoon, physically alive, full of life on the surface, but actually, Jesus says, spiritually dead and cut off from him. And yet, simply by believing Jesus' words, the spiritually dead can be raised to eternal life today. Crossing over from death to life. But he warns us, if we refuse to listen to his words now, then on resurrection day, when he comes again, we will be raised to face everlasting death. Whenever we hear the words of Jesus, we choose life or death. Either we pass from death to life, or we are left more hardened, more unbelieving. But the words of Jesus never leave us in the place where they found us. We will always react one way or the other, confirming one decision or the other. Today, if you have never done it before, you can take Jesus at his word and cross over from death to life. When we believe Jesus, he says, at that moment, eternal life begins. And death then is not the end. Death is being ushered into his presence and the presence of his Father. Our bodies may die, but one day they will be raised to physical new life again, beyond the reach of death, to live forever in a new creation. I was talking just a week or two ago with one of the fathers at the school gate, and he was telling me how he'd lost his mother and his sister within the last year. And he knows that I'm a minister, and he said to me, there is no answer for death, is there? There's nothing you can say to me. You haven't got an answer. I said, no, I haven't got an answer. But when somebody has been raised from death, has gone through death and come out the other side, never to die again, then there is an answer. We have to take account of that. Right now, in this life, a person may begin spiritual life, which is sharing in the relationship of the Father and the Son. And when they come to die, as I said, Jesus says, they never really die. It's not the end. No Christian has ever really died. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Let me lead us in a prayer as we end. Lord Jesus Christ, risen God, you are the giver and the sustainer of life. Without you, we are dead. We are helpless. We are hopeless in our sins. Raise us to newness of life, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might live and never die. And we ask this for your glory. Amen.